broadcasting from the planet Earth. This is Apollo Mighty Extreme Comedy Presentation.
The Alt.Dot Comedy Lounge. Live comedy every Monday night at 9 at the Rivoli, 334 Queen Street, West Toronto. The Alt.Dot, where laughter is routine.
Please put your hands together for Deanne Smith!
Too harshly, I'm gonna start with a ukulele tune. It's gonna be good, I promise. Also, I tried to dress up and then I realized I hadn't. Anyway, I feel like I look like a picnic or like I'm gonna serve you like a puttanesca, an Italian style family restaurant. Neither of those things are gonna happen. I've made a choice tonight and now I'm living with it. But here we go. Here's a song. I travel a lot and this is about that. This is about traveling to Australia. So just get right into it. Here we go. Here's a little story about an Australian cafe. I ordered a glass of water, but instead of just saying okay, the waiter said, "No worries, ma'am," which I guess was polite. But to my North American ears, it just didn't sound quite right. I mean, it's just a glass of water. I'm not worried about it at all. I wasn't even, like, I'm not having a mental process about the glass of water. You need to project that onto me. I wasn't even thinking about the concept of worry until you've introduced it. But now you've introduced it, haven't you? I'm starting to think, what would I have to worry about? And then I started to think of all the things that could go wrong as he fetched my drink. What if he spits in the water? What if it's full of disease? Unless he's planning to do something weird, why would he say no worries? What if the glass is cracked? What if the glass is half empty? What if I get philosophical and I'm forced to confront my innate negativity? What if there's no meaning? What if there's no point to life? What if I choose to get married and they pronounce us wife and wife? It just sounds so gay. What if he's not the waiter and this is some elaborate prank? What if my darkest fear is true and I'm the reason that my mom drank? I feel guilty all the time. What if when I was vegan, I didn't get enough vitamin B? And all I did was annoy my friends and destroy my short-term memory. What if my mind never settles down and I never know true joy? What if even though I try hard to be cool, I always look like a little boy? Like a nerdy Justin Bieber, Harry Potter, who's into it? Fellas? Ladies? Very few people. What if I mess up my taxes and the feds come after me? What if when I was vegan, I destroyed my short-term memory? What if I'm depressed, but it's undiagnosed? What if when I'm having sex, I'm being watched by my grandmother's ghost? I'm sorry, Grandma. I'm sorry. Or, you're welcome, you crazy old bat. What if when it comes, the water is too salty? What if despite the fact that I'm a moderately successful comedian and I have a lot of friends and I'm in healthy relationships, what if I never overcome the psychological damage I experienced in childhood? Not that I'm blaming my parents. I mean, they come from their own dysfunctional backgrounds and they just did the gosh darn best they could, okay? With the crappy hand that life dealt to them. But what if I always stay afraid and I label myself and my feelings as somehow wrong? Well, assuming that everyone else in the world is somehow right. So that even though my heart yearns for something deeper, my connections with other people ultimately feel kind of meaningless because I isolate myself emotionally. When the waiter comes, he arrives in a flurry. He says, "Sorry that I took so long." I say, "Hey, man. No worries." Okay, great. Oh, thanks, guys. That's good. I don't mean to lie to you. I had to lie to you at the top. I was like, this is a song about traveling. It wasn't. But it's a comedy night, and that's an easier sell. You know what I mean? Just to kick off the show. Like, this is a song about traveling. I can't be like, this is a song about crippling anxiety. Let's have fun at the show. Oh man, I worry about everything. I worry about everything all the time, for real. I worry that I'm too insecure, which is a crazy thing to worry about. But I wish I wasn't. You can hurt other people when you're too insecure. You're too sensitive. I've done it before. I used to mentor a little girl in Baltimore, like a tough little kid, right? The first day that we met, she got right to the heart of one of my insecurities. I don't know how she did it. I don't know if she was testing me. Maybe it was just an observation. I don't know how she did it. Little kid, she looked at me. She goes, "You have yellow teeth." Okay, all right. We're mentoring this kid, right? So I'm like, okay. You know what else I have? Job prospects and a dad, okay? So we can talk about who has what all day long. I don't give a shit. Sensitive. You look upset. It's okay. You don't need to be upset about a hypothetical thing that I didn't say to a fictional girl. It was okay. It was just a joke. And then I picked her up and I drop kicked her. Okay. I'm too sensitive. See, I'm too sensitive. I want, like, very invested in your personal emotional reaction. Okay. I should have more confidence. I wish that I had more confidence sometimes, you guys. I really do. Because it's like, I work with all these, like, super confident dudes. Like, that's the main thing about doing comedy is being confident, right? I work with these super confident dudes all the time. Like, the type of guys, you've seen this type of comedy on TV before. I know you've seen it. It's like, a guy will come on stage, he'll be so confident, he'll get everybody on board with a premise that doesn't even make sense just because he's confident. You've seen this kind of stuff before. I know you've seen it, like, especially on TV. You see a guy gets on stage, and he's just like, "Oh, hey, guys. Guys, hey, guys. You know how when you're hungry, you know the feeling, right? Guys, you know when you're hungry and you need mustard? You know the feeling, right? You're hungry, you need mustard. What's the problem? Where's the mustard? All the way over there. Oh, no! What do we do, guys? We all do the same thing, don't we? We get the hungry for mustard walk. I get the walk. You get the walk. You know the walk. You're hungry. You need mustard. And you're just like, whoa, gotta get the mustard! No. No, that's not a thing that's happened. That's never happened to anyone ever. But the crowd is mesmerized. I watched the whole crowd get on board. I don't know what they're thinking. They're just kind of there. They're just like, yeah, mustard, you're a man, or something. I don't know what it is. But I wish I had it. If I had that kind of confidence, there's things I would do with it as a comedian. I have a catchphrase. How amazing would that be to have a catchphrase? I'm working on one. I do need to work it into conversation, though. Can you answer a question for me?
Sure.
Okay, great. So this is a catchphrase I hope to use one day when I have more confidence, so I can be like my male counterparts. I'm pretty excited about it. Okay, so here we go. What do you do for a living?
I work on the...
Tell it to my ball! It's just a little something I'm working on. And I think eventually that's gonna be good. Thank you guys so much for having me.
I don't know if his pants are still together, but I do know if they're not, it wasn't his fault because he is awesome. Super funny dude, originally from Montreal, now making his home right here in Toronto. Please put your hands together for Christoph Davidson.
Sorry. Yes. Keep doing the mustard walk to stop the music. Keep doing shit. Hi, everyone. Yes, up here. Going to Montreal next week. I'm very excited. That's where I started. Yeah, Montreal, full of beautiful people. And I'm taking the train because it's cheap and romantic. Although frightening at times. I asked, last time I was taking the train to Montreal, I asked the guy who was coming along with a cart if he had a veggie plate. And he responded with, "We haven't served veggie plates here for years." That was a bit of an odd response, right? I had asked him if there was vegetables, not if the train was haunted. I didn't ask him that at all. It's terrifying. Spooky place. But I'm going to Montreal, and I'm still scared because I spent a lot of time there. That's where I kind of, you know, became a man in some senses. That's where all my serious relationships started in Montreal, and now I'm going back to do the festival, and I'm a little concerned, you know, because love is like a weird thing, isn't it? It's like one of the few things that the more experience you have with it, the less you know about it. Like, the deeper you get, the more confusing it is. And it doesn't help, because there's things out there that ruin it. For example, I think I've figured one thing out. I think I've boiled it down. I'm pretty sure now I've realized that what a woman wants is to be treated like an independent business princess, and that's impossible. Because you can't do those things all at the same time. Those don't really work all together. There's things that aren't helping it, though. Like, for example, the movie The Notebook is ruining it, I think, for everybody. Because that's a horrible... You know, like, yeah, women get upset when guys watch porn because it makes them want things that they can't have in a real relationship. You shouldn't watch The Notebook because that's emotional pornography. And it makes you want things that you can't have in a real relationship. If you don't think so, this is apparently, you know, the most romantic movie ever made. Captured the hearts of people around the world. And this is what happens. A guy walks up to a girl at a carnival, and he goes, "I'm going to go out with you." And she's standing there next to a date already. So she goes, "No." And he goes, "Okay." And then he just walks away. And the girl continues on her date and goes up on a Ferris wheel. And the guy who asked her out runs back and climbs the Ferris wheel. So they have to stop it. And then he just hangs there, two stories in the air, just staring at the girl like, "What's up? Remember me from before? Anyway, do you want to go out with me?" And she again says, "No." And he goes, "No, come on, go out with me." And she again says, "No." And then he goes, "If you don't go out with me, I'm going to let go." Oh, what a line, right? Isn't that just kept? Are you like, what? Why can't, if a man, like, who the fuck is your guy, you know? Who's this guy next to you that says he loves you? Did he ask you out when you were already on a date? Because he was so uncontrollably in love? Probably not, no. And when you said no, did he follow you? No matter where you went, even up on a high two-story apparatus? And then when you said no again, did he kill himself? No. No, he didn't kill himself at all, right? Because that's love. That's you know, that's not love or romantic. That is a red flag, is what that is. That guy's dangerous. Look how he handled the first rejection he was ever given between the two of you. Where are the police in this movie? Nowhere to be found. They're like, "Stop, Bill. He's hitting on someone. Let him go." It's not good. Later in the movie, for no reason, they're just holding each other arm in arm, and the girl just goes, "I'm a bird!" Which is when he should have broken up with her then and there. But he doesn't, no, he doesn't miss a beat. He just goes, "If you're a bird, then I'm a bird too." Oh, man. Wow. Just what a thing, right? Why can't, if a man loves me, he'll just, you know, just repeat me like a parrot, positively, because that's love. Once again, no, because if you're suddenly having a stroke and think you're a bird, the last thing you want is for your loved one to be like, "Oh, I'm a bird too, yeah." No, you want them to rush you to a hospital, right? Because your brain's suffering from lack of oxygen. End of this movie, oh, it just gets worse. It just keeps playing your heart. End of the movie, the woman gets dementia. So she forgets the whole love you've experienced the entire film. But he spends every day with her, telling her the story of their lives in the home, until finally she crawls out of dementia and goes, "You're talking about us." And he goes, "Yeah." And then they hold hands. He's perfectly healthy, and they die at the same time. It's difficult enough to finish with your loved one at the same time, yeah? And that's real romance, because that can happen. You know, you're like, "Did you?" "Yeah, me too." And then you hold each other a bit longer. That's beautiful and attainable. But to put some kind of pressure on a modern relationship where two people need to end their lives simultaneously in order to truly be in love, that is taking the "you can't hang out with your friends tonight" to a whole new level. It's emotional pornography. It's ruining it. I think it's ruining it for real people. Because now there's like, you get these mixed messages, you know? These expectations are too high. My ex-girlfriend once said it was okay if I cried. Then I cried. It's not okay at all. Not even a little bit. Something twitches in the monkey part of her brain. She's like, "I can't hug and cry. I'm going hungry. I'm going hungry. That's what's going to happen." Mixed messages. It's okay if you're vulnerable. As a guy, yeah, right. Are you being vulnerable? You can't. You need to be my rock. Speaking of rock, when are you going to put one on this finger, all right? I am not an object. Now cover me in trinkets. None of it makes sense. I hate those love expectations. I hate it. It's hard, because now what happens? If I love somebody, if I want to share my life with someone, in order to prove it, what do I have to do beyond a shadow of a doubt? I got to get them a diamond. Yeah, that's what I have to do. That's the rule. That's a weird way of expressing my unique and individual love that no one else can possibly share, by getting her something that everybody else shares at the same time. I don't like the big rock. Just taking someone's yearly salary and then just throwing it on your finger? It's a little rude, isn't it? Parade that around at a coffee shop like, oh, the chai latte and a biscuit. What's this? What you making here? Go fuck yourself. Oh my God. It's a weird way of expressing your love by making other people feel shitty. Not that you haven't been given a diamond or received one with thought and consideration. That's an option. You can do that, but it's optional. You know, money is the one thing you need in order to give that. So I'm thinking there's got to be something better that you can share with somebody to prove your love. Something that takes more effort and consideration. You know what it is? Not fucking other people. Yeah, that's really one of the most beautiful gifts you can give. And more rare than a diamond, if you check the stats on that one specifically. Its rarity should reflect its value, don't you think? Denying your physical instinct, millions of years of evolution, pulling you as an invisible force to do something that you don't do? That is beautiful. Try giving that as a gift, though. Yeah, not that good. I'd love to do that once a year, just in a card, I think. All I would say is, my dearest angel, this past year I've had the opportunity to sleep with 8 different people. And they offered to do things you would never do. And although I really wanted to, I didn't. Merry Christmas. Thanks a lot, guys. Enjoy the rest of your day.
We'll not be getting a second date with me, man. That guy's too sinning. Alright, we bring up your next act of the evening. One of my favorites. I've worked with her many times before. Super funny. Please put your hands together for Lori Elliott.
Tonight, there's a lot of people, so I can make my announcement. I've been wanting to say it for a while. I was really broke a while back because I'm in Canadian entertainment, and also because I'm in Canadian entertainment, I own a video camera. So what I decided to do a little while back to make some cash is I started, edited, produced, and did the whole reality TV show. My very own one. And I'm gonna start shopping it around to networks to try and make some extra cash because I owe a lot of people money. I'll tell you what it's called. It's called, Surprise, I've Been Living in Your Attic. You should have seen the big reveal or when the couple caught me up there and called the police. I got it all on film too. Remember how you said I had to stop making love because it felt like someone was watching you? It was me. I was in your closet. Dude, you got great technique. Lady, you gotta move around more. And no, you weren't having a seizure. I was eating popcorn. So we'll see. We'll see if I can make some extra cash. Everybody that's on the show tonight, we all auditioned for things like TV and film and commercials. And I have to share with you, I had a very awkward audition last week. And what happens is the casting director will send your agent what's called a breakdown. And it's a one-line description of the character that they want you to come out and audition for. And this is the breakdown that I got for my audition last week. Woman who clearly could be a man. Okay, good. I'm hearing a lot of laughter out there, but I'm also seeing a lot of, yeah, I can see that. Well, fuck you. Fuck yourselves. Clearly could be a man. I got all upset. I told my husband. Now he thinks he's gay. I'm taking the week off to think about things. But this is how crazy the business is, right? Because I went to the audition on man, and then I got there and I saw all the other women auditioning, and I clearly looked like I used to be a man more than all of them. So then I got all excited. I'm gonna freaking nail this part, right? These tits pretty. Get out of here. This guy's got the job. So we'll see. I might be on TV twice in the near future. Who knows? Who knows? I just celebrated an anniversary. I'm married, hopefully, still to my husband. He's not leaving me for another man. But do we have married people by applause here? Anybody? You? Okay, all right. I've been with my husband for a really long time, but I'm actually still on my practice marriage, my first one. Just learning what not to do next time. We'll get in a fight and he'll catch me writing things down. What are you doing? I'm like, don't worry, it's for next time. It's nothing to do with you. That's for later. Thank you for your tutelage. It's funny, we've been together so long that we realized around our anniversary that we've actually hit the point in our relationship where the sex has become sarcastic. Does anyone know what I mean? Right? We're just lying in bed going, oh, that feels great. Yeah, no, put my leg up there. I want it to fall asleep. Yeah, no, you're full of good ideas, right? Let's wrap this up. Homeland's on in 2 minutes, so. I like that show. It's a good show. But on the night of our anniversary, I was going to do a show, and we were going for dinner the next night. And as I'm leaving, he goes, Lori, can you at least say something saucy to me that I can look forward to when you get home? It's our anniversary. And my husband's from England. They're very fast on their feet. It's hard to impress them, right? So here's a piece of advice. If you've got a goofy weirdo for a partner, don't ask them to do that, because they'll do what I did and improvise. And so I just kind of pointed to him, and I was all, oh, hey, honey, you got a really nice package. Maybe when I get home, I'll open it up like it's Christmas morning. Right? And he just goes, what, start crying because it's not what you wanted? Maybe. But we've been together a long time. I'm feeling my age lately. I'm getting older. And it's really weird, right? And actually, just even my grandpa, who is in his 90s, is starting to lose it now. So I've got a little time, but he's just starting to lose it. And I was over at his place for dinner the other night, and he loves street jokes. My grandpa loves street jokes. And so I went over and I was all, hey, Grandpa, I got a joke for you. And he was all, oh, good, good, tell me. And I go, okay, knock, knock. And he just stood up and said, ooh, I'll get it. And he answered the phone. Uh-oh, for me. My body's changing now, everything's different. This is too much information, but at this point in my life, if I don't have a t-shirt or a bra on, the only way my boobs look respectable is if my arms are above my head. Like, that's it, right? So the only way to seduce my husband now is for me to look like I'm reaching for things all the time. And I was like, oh, honey, I'll get that can of tomato paste for you. Oh, look who came upstairs. Lefty. Lefty came. Don't worry about Ready. Ready's sleeping right now. Lefty's in the mix, though. Lefty's ready to go. It's not a threesome. It's a twosome. Don't be a perv, right? I've got chin-up bars in every doorway of the house. Oh, poor guy. And on our anniversary, what he did is, for the long time we've been together, we have never given each other pet names. And my husband, as my gift for our anniversary, decided he's gonna give me a pet name. And he calls me the boner killer. That's mine, not yours, ladies. That's for me. Don't take my nickname. And it's because, apparently, I have yelled out a lot of things in the middle of sex that have made him just go, you know what? I'm going to go watch TV, right? I kill the boners. And he made me a little booklet that we keep in our kitchen. I don't know why our kitchen, but it's called Lori Elliott's 101 Ways to Turn Off Her Man. And it's a list of all these things that I've said in the bedroom that have ruined it. And I've got the top three right now. It's a moving list, it's always changing, but I've got the top three things that I have said to turn off my man. Number three, this is my mom's bra. I don't even know how I got it. It's hot, right? It's hot, right? We've all done it, ladies, we've all done it. Number two, I was very drunk when I said this. Your penis smells like food. I was mad. I was like, if I go downstairs and there's a hole in the tiramisu, it is over. It's over. That's cheating. Leave me for desserts. And then the last one is probably my most embarrassing one. But what happened was, while we were in the act of something, we both noticed at the same time that I had a very, very alarming nipple hair. Leg is scary. And it happens, ladies. The older you get, you reach a certain age where the armpit hair is all like, fucking stinks in here, we're moving to the mountains, right? Just like, fresh air. Mountains, it's pretty, right? And so we both were, there was no getting out of it. So we did this, and then, and the only thing I could think of to say was, ooh, make a wish. Lucky you. That's like a bird pooping on your head, only probably a lot more gross. But then don't do what I did. I tried to get the sexuality back, and I just bit it out. I was like, they ran away. All right, you guys, we gotta go. Thanks a lot.
Hey, this is Dylan Gott. You're listening to the Alt-Doc Comedy Lounge, recorded live at the Rivoli in Toronto.
We're going to keep the show rolling along. Your next act of the evening, super funny dude. You're going to love him. Please put your hands together for Mr. Chris Locke. All right. Yeah. It's a beautiful day today, eh, guys? Beautiful day. I love walking around the city, people watching, checking everyone out. I think this is funny sometimes when you're walking around the city. Sometimes you'll see a guy, and at first you think it's a celebrity, right? Like, that happened to me this morning. I was walking around, I saw this guy, and at first I was like, is that Harrison Ford? Right? But then the guy you're looking at, like, bends down and picks up a cigarette butt. Puts it in a little pouch. You're like, no, I don't think it is. If that's him, he's weird. It's filthy. I'm glad to be here tonight. I love doing shows at the Rivoli. It's always a blast. I'm having a great time. But if I could be honest with myself for a moment, and I know you guys can relate to me, right? No matter where I am, even if I'm having a great time, there's still a part of me in the back of my mind that's like, yeah, but still, you'd way rather be at home, just like farting in your track pants. Right? Like nothing beats your favorite pair of track pants. They're so comfortable. When you're wearing your favorite pair of track pants, you're like, psh, what am I, standing in a jacuzzi? This feels amazing. I'm gonna crack some champagne, eat some Ringolos. Do it up. I'm the kind of guy too, like, I have a busy schedule, right? Sometimes. Whatever. But no matter what I'm doing, right, it doesn't matter. I'd still way rather be at home, on my couch, in my track pants, eating pizza, and watching The Simpsons. Yeah. And I don't even think The Simpsons are funny anymore. I just like the colors. And I like how it makes me feel like my mom's gonna say, dinner's ready any minute now. And that's funny to me too, right? Because that's not what they're originally for. Like, track pants were originally for getting fit, not for getting fat. That to me is the same as like going down to a sports shop and buying a baseball glove just so you can hold more chips. I like doing that joke every now and then. There's like a guy in the audience that's like, that's a good idea, man. It's a good idea, because Doritos are big, and I want them all. Got to have it. You guys ever do this? You have to run an errand at the corner store, right? So you throw on your track pants, but you're not wearing any underwear underneath. You're like, is this even legal? It's so close to everything. I hope no one pantses me right now. If someone does that to you at the corner store, the only way you can maybe get out of that, right, is you gotta think fast. They're just like, oh, this might be a long shot, but do you guys sell underwear here? And when they say no, you're just like, all right, I'll just get this carton of eggs. It's true. It's all true. Yeah, I know. Rock solid. I'm trying to lose weight and get in shape these days. Yeah. Thanks. Good support system here. I want to lose weight and get in shape so I can finally look good when I practice my devil sticks with no shirt on. Yeah.
trying to lose weight and get in shape, but it's hard, right? Because I get these cravings for junk food, and I can't quit it. And it drives me nuts, right? Like, I get these cravings. Like, the other day, I got this craving for chicken McNuggets, okay? And I couldn't quit it, right? And I felt so pissed. I was, like, so ashamed. Because to me, chicken McNuggets is like food for kids. You see what I'm saying? Like, chicken McNuggets is what your parents used to get you after you've behaved all day. Right? Like, I may as well be getting cravings for coloring. And I'm like an adult man, right? I should be getting cravings for adult man style food, right? Like a pint of Guinness with like a raw egg in it. Or like a hammer with mustard on it. Not chicken McNuggets. It's embarrassing. But I had this craving, like I said, and I couldn't quit it. And I went up to the Mc counter or whatever. And I ordered 10 McNuggets with honey sauce and barbecue sauce. And then I grabbed the food and split. Because you guys know you don't eat in the restaurant. Right? Like, if you're eating in the McDonald's by yourself, then other people think you're missing from some hospital. Right? They're like, should we help this guy? This McNugget's been in the honey for 5 minutes. And you hear them and you're like, soaking it in, baby. Soaking up the flavor. But I grabbed the bag of McNuggets to go. And as I was going somewhere else to eat them, right, I'm jaywalking across this busy street. And as I'm jaywalking across the street, this thought hits me out of nowhere, right? I'm like, holy shit. What if a car hits me right now, and this is how they find me? Right? Just some schlubby guy with chicken McNuggets strewn all over his dead body. And 75 cents in his pocket. For an emergency. And then everybody sees that, and then the people on the street are like, oh my God, look what happened to this simple man. Someone notifies caregiver, let them know there's been an incident. Paranoid, right? A little bit. But it's true, it makes me not want to do anything in public anymore, right? Because I don't want to be out there doing stuff and then someone films it and puts it on YouTube. You see what I'm saying? Like, I can't take seeing the titles of the videos that show up online with me in them. You know what I mean? Like, bald guy tries on fedora. Fat guy enjoys songs on iPod. Comedian checks bank account. Guy says, I love you to bag of chips. Guy smiles at cop on horse. Man covered in sweat looks lost. Guy watches teenagers kiss. Loner gets laughed out of Banana Republic. Idiot in track pants dies for McNugnuts. All right, guys, you are awesome. That's it for me. Enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you.
I hope I'm around when Chris Locke dies, man. Free McNuggets and 75 cents? Fucking good change right there. All right, we're going to have your next act of the evening. This man isn't just funny, he's also tall. Those are two very important qualities. Please put your hands together, Mr. Graham Kay!
Thanks, everybody. I'm getting older. I'm 32 years old. I'm not old, but I am running out of time, right? Like, I'm running out of time to do cool stuff, right? Like, I got about 8 years left to get my first motorcycle, right? And then it's just sad all of a sudden, right? Like, I'm bad to the bones. It's like, you're running errands, sir. You're picking up vitamins, most likely. your boss hog. You can't be bad to the bone if you also have osteoporosis. You just have bad bones. You just have bad bones. That's how that works. I'm never gonna get a tattoo. It's too late for me. I always wanted one, but you can't get your first tattoo post 30. You can't. Who are you rebelling against? Your parents? They barely remember who you are. Get over it. I know to look at this haircut, you're like, that guy's got an anchor somewhere. Not even one anchor. Not even one. What's your first tattoo post 30 gonna represent? What's it gonna represent? Hey, you can't eat gluten anymore? It's a wheat germ, it's pretty badass. I'm exhausted. I am just exhausted. So, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. I always wanted a tattoo, so if you have one, good for you. I could just never decide what to get. I could never decide what to get. Like my buddy, he's got a koi fish on his forearm. He's got a koi fish. I was like, why do you have orange scales on your forearm? He's like, well, Graham, I went to Hawaii once, and I'd like to preserve that memory of that trip. I was like, oh, I know a place you can get a camera. We cavemen now, we're drawing memories on our skin. Is that where we're at? I met a guy who's 33 years old once, and he had never tried alcohol. And he wasn't even religious. If you've never tried alcohol and you're not religious, you're a psychopath. You're intellectually lazy, you're not curious, and I don't trust you. How many bars did this guy walk by in his life and look through the window and just seen people having the best time? He's like, woo! Shots! Hooray! He's like, I don't even want to try that. I'm gonna go home and read a Dean Koontz novel instead. Yeah. Draw a bath. Draw a sweet bath. Way better than fun. Way better. I asked him, I was like, how come you've never tried alcohol? He's like, oh, Graham, I don't need to drink because I already know who I am. I was like, oh, well, I just found out who you are, and you need to drink. Get over yourself. 32 is a weird age. It's a weird age. Because I'm the last generation to grow up completely without a cell phone. Completely. Like, if you're like 22, I'm gonna blow your mind right now. When I was like 16 and learning like how to talk to girls, I shared something called a home phone with an angry middle-aged couple. Just a furious man and his wife. And maybe I was lucky, you know, a girl would call, you know, and then my mom, she'd always pick up first. She'd be like, Graham, the phone's for you. It's a real live girl, so just be yourself. Remember from our discussion to be yourself. Times were hard in the 90s. They were hard, yeah. Dial-up modem, remember that? We just muscled through that for about a decade. If you're young, that's the noise our computers made when they tried to talk to other computers. It's like, what is happening digitally and mechanically inside this box to produce this noise? Where is it coming from? I don't even have any speakers, so. I didn't like that noise. All that was an alarm telling my parents that Graham's masturbating in the family room. That's all that was. Back then, only one computer, always in the family room. That's a very high-profile masturbation, if you ask me. And you did. And you did. Those cocky teens grow up with the high-speed internet. They click on a porn icon, they get instant tits. Click tits, click tits, click tits. No wait for the image to download. Back then, we'd click, the image start downloading at the woman's forehead. Here come the tits! Don't come in, Mom, I'm cleaning. It's my little personal space time. Please respect that from our discussion. What we do, we just panic, you know, just finish too quickly, sitting there all tired, just ashamed of what you've done, you know. Look up at the screen, the image is only downloaded as far as the woman's neck. Jerked off to a clavicle, and that's weird. It's not healthy. It's not Christian. It's not Christian. I don't know. I moved to Toronto and my buddy was like, you should get a bicycle because it's faster than public transportation and you'll get in really good shape and it's cheap. And you know what? It was a great suggestion. He was right about all those things. Until in November when I fell off and broke both of my arms at the same time. I broke both of my arms at the same, I don't know if you guys have ever broken both of your arms, but you wanna stagger the breaks a little. You don't wanna just get up without any arms in your life anymore. Because they're good at fixing you at the hospital. They're very good at it, but they're not good at telling you how to live your life sans arms. The nurse just gave me two slings. She's like, you have two slings now. Goodbye. I was like, lady, I put socks on this morning with arms. What's our exit plan for these socks? How am I gonna get home? Just ride the subway? Just, hello! Hello, I am here to ride the subway, please! Yes. Oh, I have a Metro pass in one of four pockets, so you're gonna have to root around for a little while. See where this takes us, sir. She just gave me two slings. And I was just staring at the wall, like wondering to myself, like, how long is it that you have to like date somebody, before you can ask them to wipe your bum? How long is that? It's not 5 months, I learned that. All right, my name's Graham K. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Graham K, ladies and gentlemen. Never once asked me to wipe his ass. He didn't even bring it up like, subtly or anything like that. He was just cool about it overall. All right, this next guy, super funny dude, living over in England for a while, now back in Canada. Please put your hands together, Mr. Nick Beaton.
What's going on, guys? Crazy Young. It's good to be here. I was living in England for a while. In case you were thinking of going there, do not. It is a terrible place. Is where happiness goes to die. It rains all of the time, every single day there. Before I went, people warned me. They were like, oh, you might not like it. It rains all the time. I was like, well, can't rain all the time. But I got there. It turns out, yeah, rains all the time, every single day. And I would complain to English people about it. I was like, how do you guys put up with this? It rains all of the time here. And then they would just be like, I like the rain, just twitching while they said it. Because they had to lie to themselves. Because that's what English people have to do about the things that they're proud of, about their culture. Like, they have to lie to themselves and say it's good, like their food. They have to pretend they enjoy their own food. There is nothing more entertaining to me than watching English people eat English cuisine at a pub, just mad, just eating it. You just want to go up and shake them like, there's other food! Like, Spain is right there! They have spices and women with asses! What are you doing? Get out of this country. This is a terrible place. And this guy came up to me, found out I was Canadian. He was like, oh, you're Canadian, huh? You guys are really rough on your indigenous people. It's like calling me out on it, like it was me who did it. He's like, you were really rough on your indigenous population. I was like, well, yeah, but we weren't English, or we weren't Canadian when we did it. And he's like, well, what were you? And I was like, English, you asshole! Which would have worked a lot better if I didn't say the English part first. But you know what? Fuck it. Who cares? It's fucking, what, 2 a.m. now? We can order breakfast soon, I think? Thanks, Chris. No. It's weird. You also get a lot of the time they think you're an American when you're over there. You start talking and they just assume you're an American. They're just like, oh, you're American. What part of America are you from? And I'm like, well, no, I'm actually Canadian. And then they go, sorry, I am so, so sorry. Like they just called me a pedophile or something. Like, it's okay, we sound the same. I don't expect them to be able to tell the difference in our accents, you know? Like, I don't expect them to be able to understand, but it's really weird that they hate Americans in so many different places. Like, I went to different places in Europe, and everybody hates Americans. As soon as you tell them you're Canadian, they're like, oh, thank God, you are not one of those people. That is great. And it's weird because as Canadians, we don't hate Americans, right? We'd have like a nice healthy rivalry going with them, you know? Where they make fun of us for being stupid, and we know that they actually are, you know? Like you say a boot, like none of your people read at a grade level. Who cares about a pronunciation? Well, I figured out, here's why people hate Americans. Here's why the world hates America. It's because they try to own everything. And not just literally, which they also do, but figuratively. They try to take states of being. Like when America's doing well, they're just like, we are the best country in the world. And when they're not doing well, they're like, feel bad for us. Things aren't going well. Like with their economic crisis. Like, oh, we don't have as much money as we used to. Feel bad for us now. And then they try to take away other people's achievements. I saw this guy in the news for Occupy Wall Street. He was just like, Occupy Wall Street, this is our Arab Spring. No, it isn't. That's not fair, they're not even close. You can't take that from those people, they had to earn that. They had to overthrow dictators who controlled their lives for 30 years and then killed them for thinking differently than they wanted them to. All Occupy Wall Street is just Americans who don't understand credit card debt. Somebody gave them a plastic card, they turned it into a flat screen TV, and then 3 months later they're like, what do you mean I have to pay for it now? This is bullshit, I used the magic card, what's wrong with the card? Is it not enchanted enough? I don't get it. Interest. You keep saying this word interest. Yes, I'm very interested in having my flat screen TV. I can't feel bad for America though. I don't know why they're trying to make people feel bad for them. They're doing too well. They're too prosperous. America's way too prosperous. America's so prosperous, their poor people are fat. Do you know how nuts that is to have fat, poor people walking around like, I can barely sustain life? You're 350 pounds. What's your definition of sustaining life? You're eating right now. Unless, let me look up the definition of sustain on my iPad. I don't know, guys. I have lived in a bunch of other places. I like Toronto, though. Toronto's a good city. It's one of my favorite cities. A lot of people here from Toronto? A few people? Yeah. Get some out-of-towners sometimes. I like Toronto, though. One thing I'll say about Toronto, though, people are ruder here than a lot of other places. I'm from Nova Scotia. We're really nice. I don't know if you noticed. Don't base it on what I've said tonight. But a lot of us are nice. But Toronto's rude in the way that, like, nobody acknowledges that somebody else exists. Like, we don't want to deal with people we don't know on a daily basis. We walk down the street as if we were in our own bubble. If some guy comes up to you on the street and says, hey, how's it going? You're like, what the fuck is this guy's problem? Immediately. You're like, he wants to fuck me or steal my shit. Those are the only two options a stranger has. Nobody wants to talk to anybody. And I think what ruined it for us the most are those guys walking around with the binders trying to get you to donate to some shit. You know, and they're all wearing the same t-shirt and they just sandwich you when you're trying to get a coffee, and that ruined it. Nobody wants to talk to anybody anymore. And they have the worst startup lines. They're like, ooh, you look like somebody who wants to talk to me. He's like, you could not have misread this situation more. I just want to walk by, punch you in the face. That is all that I want to have with you. But they are, man, people can be rude here. One time I held a coffee shop door open for this girl. I was going into this cafe, held the door open. She just stares at me like, well, I assume you're gonna knock me over to walk in. I'm like, no, here, walk through, it's fine. I'm holding the door open. She's on her phone the whole time, just talking to somebody. And I'm like, just, it's fine. I had to wave her like 3 times. And then she says into the phone like, huh, well, I guess chivalry isn't dead, and walks through. But she said it to the person on the phone. Like, I'm the person who held the door open for you. You say thank you to me. Like, apparently, yeah, chivalry isn't dead. Also, being a cunt, alive and well. Those two things are doing great right now. Say thank you. I watch YouTube. I like watching YouTube. You know why I like YouTube? Because you can just type in, guy gets kicked in the nuts. Boom, there's an afternoon gone. You don't get that time back. Favorite thing to watch on YouTube? Animals attack videos. I love those. Favorite thing to watch. The only thing I hate about those videos is the name. I don't think they should be called When Animals Attack. I think it should be called When Dumb People Get What They Deserve. Because it's never a guy who doesn't deserve it. Never a guy who's minding his own business at work and then just an eagle swoops down and just rips his dick off. That's never the situation. Just an eagle, my dick, at work. Those three things don't go together. How did that happen? I play by the rules, eagle. It's always some guy in safari somewhere poking a lion with a stick. Looking at his friend's cell phone camera like, stupid lion!
Get a load of this. I'm Frankie. I'm gonna poke this lion with a stick. He's big and stupid. Probably can't even muster a defense, I wouldn't imagine. Then the lion tears it to pieces. Like, yeah, man, maybe when you poke a 500-pound cat nicknamed King of the Jungle, you got some shit coming your way directly after that. There's a lot of animals in the jungle. Only one of them has King of the in its name. Maybe don't poke that one with a stick. There's a zebra right there. Poke that. It's a gay horse. Who gives a shit? What's it gonna do? Nothing. It's like the least defended animal in the animal kingdom. It's a black and white horse that roams around the open plains like, oh shit. I hope I taste disgusting. I am visible. I am a fat, delicious horse, literally painted like a target. I just don't feel bad for those people. Torture animals for a living and then the animal kills them. I think that's a good thing. You decide you want to whip a bear to train it to ride a bike, and halfway through the bear's like, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to be a bear now. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put in my papers on the bike riding because I'm a giant goddamn bear. That's why. I'll get him on the next time around. You probably won't suspect anything because I'm wearing a vest for some reason. But they always blame the animal in the video. It's never the people's fault. It's always the animal. It's always poor people, poor people. Oh, this poor family decided to stop for an upwind barbecue in a part of the jungle the locals call Panther Alley. When out of nowhere, without any warning whatsoever, a panther strikes. Poor people. No, good panther. Fuck these people. They're clearly too stupid to live. Put the panther in the coffin at their funeral and let them jump out and eat the rest of their extended family. I do not want their genes passing on. Letting people like this live is the reason why it has to say caution, hot coffee on a cup of hot fucking coffee. You guys have been a lot of fun. You can enjoy everybody else in the show. Thanks so much. Have a great night.
The Alt.Comedy Lounge happens every Monday night at 9 p.m. at the Rivoli in downtown Toronto. For information on upcoming shows, visit alt.comedylounge.com or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. For previous shows, check out podalmighty.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Catch you next time.